All right, does anybody need a Bible? If you need a Bible, raise your hand and Jim will get you one. Once you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up again to the book of Acts chapter 8. The book of Acts chapter 8. And we've been hearing the last week or so about Stephen, and then we started talking about Philip, and we met this Simon of Cyrene last week, Simon the sorcerer, actually. And he was a man that thought he had great power. And the people looked at him that he had the power of God upon him. And so Philip went into this area here as he started to preach in Samaria and give the gospel message. And we pick it up today in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, as we continue the story with Philip there in Samaria. It says in verse 12, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." And I think the word believe there is such an important word, because it means that we trust in, rely on, cling to, and have an unswerving confidence in Christ. And so we see these people, when they heard the gospel message, they believed. They believed. It says later on in the book of Acts, in verse 16, they said, "What must we do to be saved?" He said, "Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved." And so Philip came and he began to preach Jesus to these people. He began to preach and tell them the good news, the gospel, and the good news of the kingdom. And suddenly, as the word went forth, people realized there was hope. They realized they could have a joy that wouldn't leave at the next corner they came to. They started to realize they had a reason for living. They actually had a reason for living, and they responded to his preaching. They responded to it by believing, by absorbing that word and applying it into their own lives. So when Philip came, the people saw something far, far more wonderful in Philip's miracles than the tricks and the false miracles of Simon. And so those false miracles, they started to kind of fade into insignificance in the presence of the genuine power of God. When somebody comes with the real power of God versus someone that is trying just to deceive people and doing it on their own power, people see it. You recognize it pretty quickly. And so it goes on in verse 13. It starts out, says, "Then Simon himself also believed." Simon believed, but I don't believe he was actually became a born-again believer, as we will see as evidence of that in a little bit. You see, James 2:19 says that even the devils believe and they shudder. Even the devils believe. So they're not saved. Did you know you can miss heaven by 18 inches? You can miss it by 18 inches. You can believe in your head intellectually. You can affirm the theology mentally. But if faith is not in your heart, and your heart's not that organ that pumps, it's not in your whole being. When the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about the essence of who you are, your nature, your character, your entire being. If it's not in your heart, you're in no better shape at that point than the demons are, because they believe, but they don't really trust in, rely on, and cling to. There's a different belief system. See, I believe our vehicle will be out in the parking lot when I believe, but it's not the end of the world if it's not. And so you have these different levels of it when you think about that. You see, there's not one demon. There's not one demon who doubts the reality of hell. They all know there's where the end result is. That's why James points out the fallacy of intellectual faith. Just to have head knowledge doesn't really cut it. It doesn't really make it. He says your heart must be touched. Your heart must be touched. Your faith must affect the way you live. For faith without works is dead, James says. And so people say, well, faith without works? I thought salvation was by faith. It is. See, it's not faith and works. It's not faith or works. It's faith that works. That's what James is talking about. And so when we come to Jesus and he's in our being, he's in our heart, there's an automatic outflow of wanting to do God's will. And God's will is that we would serve him and serve one another in whatever way he calls us to. And we're all called to be ministers of the gospel. Each and every one of us that are born again, we're called to be ministers of his gospel. So then verse 13 goes on and it says, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. So this Simon that had been deceiving people with these signs and these miracles, these trickeries, the magical tricks and deceptions that he came up with, he was amazed at what he saw Philip doing. He just, it was incredible. So he says, he was baptized. And at that point, and so the sorcerer's sin here, we'll see what really is his sin, though, that he continues in his attitude here. Verse 14 says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Verse 15 says, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit at that point. And we talk about receiving. Remember, I gave those three different functions of the Holy Spirit. The first one was the para. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of a person and convicts them and draws them to Jesus. And then there was the in. The Holy Spirit comes in a person when they're born again. And then the third one was the para. That's the upon experience, the receiving, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what's taking place here. And see, notice that although the people in Samaria were born again and they were baptized, they were not yet empowered. They were not empowered with the coming upon of the Spirit. And so, well, I thought when you received Jesus, you received or you had the Holy Spirit. Well, yes, you do. And I like to compare it to like if you had a two-story home and you were upstairs and somebody came to visit you and they knocked on the door and somebody downstairs opened up the door. They came into your home at that point. It's like when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes into you. But then when you go downstairs and you receive them at that point, you come face to face with them, and that's that upon experience. You come upon them and you're right with them in that way. And so that's what's being talked about here, is that upon experience, that epi experience of experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and John came down from Jerusalem. They laid hands on the believers there, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the question is, why didn't Philip just do it? Why didn't he do it, since Philip was the one who led the city to a knowledge of Jesus? He's the one that was bringing them to know Jesus. And since he was the one who had baptized them and taught and shared the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, why didn't Philip just lay his hands on the Samaritans to receive the power of the Spirit? Well, I think for possibly a couple of different reasons why he didn't. One, in sending Peter and John to Samaria from Jerusalem, they were like sending the big guns there. They're sending the big guns down to do this deed of laying hands. And so in doing that, Philip was actually linking the Samaritan Christians together with the Jewish Christians. He was showing a bond of unity there. There was the same thing. Philip was linking them together. He was not starting a separate movement there in Samaria, nor a distinct denomination of believers. It was, they were all one body. They were all one body. They were all in Christ Jesus, being the same. Sending for Peter and John just verified the linkage and the support between the believers in Jerusalem and Samaria. But a second, and I think even maybe possibly a more important reason, may have been that perhaps Philip wasn't gifted in the way of laying hands to have them baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was gifted in preaching. He was gifted in evangelism. It is possible he was not gifted in the laying on of hands for the empowering of people. You have to realize not one person gets every gift. Not one. If one person had all the gifts, we wouldn't need each other. And there's not one gift given to everyone either. And so you have to keep in mind when they talk about the gifts of the Spirit that you have to realize not one person gets everyone and not one is given to everyone. And that kind of a situation, God gives us each individually so that we need to work together as the and function together as the body of Christ. Wise enough to realize that a couple of his brothers had that anointing, they had that gifting and that calling, he sent for them. He had Peter and John come down. And again, we see the importance of the body working together. No one person can do it all. No one person should do it all. Every part of the body has a specific function. It's so relaxing. It's so freeing when we finally realize that we don't have to do it all. We don't have to do it all. People around you might expect you to be everything for them, but you know that you're not and you cannot be everything for everyone. So what should we do? What should we do at that point? Well, do what you're called to do. Do what you're called to do and let a brother or a sister do the things that they have been called to do, to do the things that you haven't been gifted to do and called to do. See, the Lord's burden is not heavy. It's not heavy. His yoke fits perfectly. It tells us that in Matthew chapter 11, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Find that rest. Oh, to have that rest in knowing, you know what? That needs to be done, but I'm not called to do it. I know somebody that is. I can have them do it because God's got his hand on them for that purpose. Everybody's not called to do the same thing. As far as the overall ministries, every ministry isn't called to do the same thing. Some ministries are called to feed the homeless. Other ministries are called to have clothing ministries and other different things. Every ministry has to find what is our calling, what is how God wants to use us as a ministry, as a church, to minister and reach out to others. And so don't try to do things you're not called to do. Usually doesn't work out well. Look at verse 18 now. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Simon looked at this and said, wow, that's a pretty neat trick. That's a pretty neat trick. Let me buy it from you. How much money do you want from it? See, last week we saw in verse 9, if you wanted to look at verse 9 there in chapter 8, it says, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. So when we look at that, we see that Simon had a wrong view of himself. He was really puffed up. He was prideful. He had this wrong view. And he sees these apostles coming and laying their hands on people. And he wants to buy it from them. I want that because that looks pretty exciting. I think people really admire me more. He had a wrong view of himself. And now here, as we look at verse 19 especially, give me this power also that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Spirit. We see the next thing that he had a problem with, he had a wrong view of the supernatural power. He didn't realize that it was just only from God, and God chose who to give it. It's not man deciding, okay, I'm going to do it with this person. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. So he had a wrong view of supernatural power. And to this day, we see and we know that the magicians actually buy tricks from one another. And that's why I believe Simon was operating probably through magic and not necessarily through demonic power. I think it was magical things, and he was maybe used to buying different magical tricks from other magicians and in that way. And so he wanted to just buy it, but he had a wrong view of himself. He had a wrong view of supernatural powers. Now look at verse 20. But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money." You thought it could be purchased. And so the next thing we see, he had a wrong view. He had a wrong view of the Spirit itself. He thought, well, you just buy the Holy Spirit. You don't have to give your heart to Jesus. You can take kind of a shortcut. Just pay for it. See, verse 21 says, "You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." See, his heart was not right. That's why I said earlier, I believe he believed, but he wasn't really born again. I don't believe he had that relationship. Verse 22, he says to him, "Repent. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." See, I believe there was jealousy and bitterness there because he wasn't getting all of the attention. He had been the supreme one that everybody was coming to, and they were so amazed by him and his own power that he was doing these tricks with. And now he wasn't getting all the attention, and so his heart was embittered. He was poisoned with jealousy and bitterness and iniquity. Sin was hiding in his heart at that point. Now look at verse 24. "Then Simon answered and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me.'" So here we see the last wrong view he had. He had a wrong view of sin. He had a wrong view of sin. He thought, you pray that these things don't happen to me. In other words, he wasn't interested in having his life corrected. He wasn't really interested in truly repenting and changing his mind. Remember, we talked a couple of weeks on repentance is changing your mind. He wasn't really ready to change his mind about all of these other things, about the power of the supernatural, about who the Spirit was and who he was himself. He wasn't really ready to change his mind about those. He just wanted to be protected. He wanted to be protected from the consequences of his sin. Pray that the Lord doesn't allow these things to happen to me. No, he didn't repent. He didn't turn away. He didn't change his mind on any of these things that we have up there. Now look at verse 25. "So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." So what happened to Simon? What happened to him? Well, tradition and history tells us he went insane. He actually totally went insane and ended up burying himself alive. But not before he introduced the heresy of Gnosticism. He's the one that began this whole Gnosticism thing, which is, among other things, stated that matter is evil and the spirit is good. That's Gnosticism. All of matter, everything is evil, and so God is good. And so God could not have created the world out of this evil matter, nor could Jesus have become a man and died for our sin. That's what Gnosticism really is, the basics of the doctrine. And we find that John wrote his first epistle in part to counter the threat of Gnosticism that was already creeping in to the early church. And so First John and the letters of his epistles were coming against this view, wrong view of yourself. It's the wrong view of having this, of the supernatural powers, the wrong view of the Holy Spirit, and it's the wrong view of sin. Evil. Matter is evil and God is good, and so they couldn't be together. And that's where has started so many cults and things that can't believe that Jesus is really God, because God couldn't have came and walked on an evil earth. And so that's where a lot of these heresies come from, and these things start from the Gnosticism and Simon. And so he just literally went crazy, though. After all the power was shown that it was fake and he couldn't have what he wanted, he couldn't take it. So now we switch directions here in verse 26, and we kind of leave Simon behind at this point, and we move on. And it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So we see the Holy Spirit talking to Philip here, and we see in Philip now a sovereign work of the Spirit start to take place. The sovereignty of God is something that it's a hard thing to get our head wrapped around. God is God and we are man. And we're never going to understand all of the reasons and all of the things and all of the ways that God does things. There's things in the scriptures that one person can look at it one way, another person can look at it the other. Neither's right or wrong. It's just we don't really have the whole concept of the sovereignty of God. He's above everything that we could think or even understand in so many different areas. So we, verse 27, we see what Philip did. So he arose and went. See, let's just stop right there. Philip, whose ministry had brought about this wonderful, wonderful work there in Samaria. And now he's being called to Gaza, a desert. He's going south to the desert. He could have protested and said, "Oh no, Lord, what about all the posters I've got up for my conferences? What about my book signings? Lord, I'm so influential here in Samaria. The entire city is getting turned on to you through me. Why are you asking me to go to the desert? There's nothing down there, Lord." You know, that's kind of our flesh. Sometimes when the Lord calls us and says, you know, go here to this place, but Lord, I don't like that place. You know, we just kind of battle that. You know, Psalm 46:10 says, "Cease striving and know that I am God," or "Be still and know that I am God." That means cease warlike activities. It's easy when the Lord calls us to do something that is not comfortable that we have warlike activities with the Holy Spirit. But we see Philip didn't do that. It says he arose and went. He went. Please note that he didn't say why. He didn't ask the Lord, "Why are you sending me to the desert, Lord?" He simply arose and went. Just did it. He was obedient. If you struggle with finding God's will, know this. God's will is for you to obey what he tells you. And he may speak to you through the word. He may speak to you through another brother or sister. He may speak to you somebody on the radio. You know, that our TV, you never know how the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. God's will is to obey what he tells you to do one step at a time. He doesn't give us the full story. That's why we have a problem with it. We want to know it all to begin with. He says, "I want you to go down to the desert, and once you do that, I'll show you the next step. I'll show you what the next step is." That's why the Christian life is so incredibly exciting. We never know what's ahead. We never know what's holding the next day. But he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough problems of its own. Let's just take today and live for it. See, an experiment was performed where some caterpillars were placed on a jar, and they put some dirt and some of their favorite leaves on the bottom, and they placed them on the rim of the jar. And the caterpillar was on the front. He kept going around the lid of the jar. And all the other caterpillars continued to follow him, thinking they knew where he was going. And around they went until they all died of starvation, just following the other one around. Do you feel like you're drying up? Do you feel like you're getting dizzy today? Could it be because the Lord spoke to you at some point, but because you were so intent on the caterpillar in front of you that you missed the adventure? You'd missed the calling. Maybe you just stopped doing what the Lord had called you to. Maybe you stopped praying. Maybe you stopped reading. Maybe you stopped fellowshipping. And you found yourself going in circles. out apart from all of the other things God's called you to do. See, the key to an exciting, impacting Christian life is to be like Philip, to be like him and obey when you hear the Lord's voice. His voice, or you feel his pull on your heart, even though you don't know the end of the story at the beginning. He won't show you the end from there. Sometimes we couldn't handle the end. Sometimes if he showed us what the result's going to be, we wouldn't even attempt it. And so he tells us to obey, but take it one step at a time. One step at a time, and he's there with you all the rest of the way. So verse 27 started out, said, so he arose and went. Then it goes on, and behold, a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. So the treasurer in the kingdom, with this man would have been perhaps the second most powerful individual in all of Ethiopia. And evidently he was a God-fearer. He went to Jerusalem to worship. Very likely it was maybe his first pilgrimage there to the holy city. But not finding all of the answers that he was looking for in the law, which he would have gotten at Jerusalem, or in the ritual of the temple worship that would have been going on, he rode home in his chariot, possibly with his heart still hungry. And so as he pored over the scriptures, as he's looking to the word of God, he didn't get what he was looking for in the law. So he had the book of Isaiah, he had the scroll of Isaiah with him. He's reading through Isaiah. And verse 29 said, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. This proves to me that the Lord will do whatever it takes to reach a person who desires to know him. If somebody has that desire, if the power of the Holy Spirit has been alongside of them and convicting them and putting that desire in their heart, the Lord will do whatever it takes to complete that desire for them. On the day of judgment, no one will be able to say, I really wanted to know you, God, but I couldn't figure out how. That won't be an excuse. Nobody will have that. That won't be a valid excuse. God will send a Philip. God will send a Philip to anyone who wants to know him. And that Philip could be you. It could be you that the Lord is impressing on your heart today that you need to go to that co-worker, or you need to go to that family member. The Lord may be telling you to be a Philip today. It could be you that the Lord is calling to go and share that good news with someone. And look at verse 30. Starts out, says, so Philip ran to him. I love this phrase. It doesn't say Philip said, okay, I hate the desert, but if I gotta go, I'll go. No, Philip ran. He ran to that chariot. How wonderful it is to see someone so full of enthusiasm concerning ministry and concerning serving the Lord. The Greek word enthusiasm comes from the word in and theos, which means full of God. Full of God. And so an enthusiastic person is a person who is full of God. They're just filled up with the Holy Spirit, and they're ready just to tell anyone and everyone about the gospel. Philip was enthusiasm personified. He was excited about the Lord. Now look at verse 30, goes on. It says, and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading? That's a good question. People say to me all the time, well, I read this, but I don't understand. Well, the Bible says that if you lack wisdom, ask. Ask of God. Take time. If you read something and you just don't understand what it's saying, if you haven't really seized the meaning of it, then ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord, what does this really mean for me? not just what it means for everybody else, what's it mean for me personally? And if he doesn't show it to you right then, somewhere in the next day or two, I imagine you will probably start to understand it. Sometimes we can read a verse in the morning or a couple verses in the morning, and as we go throughout our day, we bump into somebody that we didn't know we were going to see, and all of a sudden they may have a question, they may have a statement or something that they say to us, and that verse applies to what they say to us. And you walk away saying, well, I'm glad the Lord showed me that this morning. I didn't understand it this morning, but now I see the reason. But see, it doesn't happen if you don't spend time in the Word. You need to pray. You need to read. You need to have those things in your life on a day-to-day basis. Then verse 31 goes on, and he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Verse 32, the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? So he's reading out of the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah's prophesying of the Lord Jesus Christ, clearly painting a picture of what was to take place with what took place with Jesus. And so already sovereignly drawn by the Spirit, the eunuch was searching and wondering. He was searching, looked at Isaiah, and he's saying, this is talking about somebody. Who is Isaiah talking about? He was searching out. He was wondering. And again, that's what that effect of the Holy Spirit being along with us, that para experience. The Holy Spirit was just drawing him and working him. There's people in your lives today that are searching and wondering. And you need to be a Philip today. Whenever you come across them, be open to the opportunities. Be open to the times that the Holy Spirit is drawing you to be that Philip, to give them understanding into the Word of God. You know, our truelife.org cards are a really good way to minister to people. You know, you just give them a card and let them know if they go to that website. It's linked on our website, truelife.org. There's all kinds of videos on there that help people understand what the Bible is talking about. That's why we have them over there. So it gives you a tool to be able to open up a door to help people have understanding into the scriptures and have an understanding of what God has for them. And we all need to have that from time to time. And so know that people are searching and wondering today, especially the things that are happening in the world. People are starting to really be a little bit more open to what God's word says, because most of them, as they were children, they heard about the end times. Most of them, when they were children, they heard about earthquakes and volcanoes and all of these different things and wars and rumors of wars. And they've heard that they will be like birth pangs, happening more frequently and with greater intensity. And so the news every day is showing those birth pangs. And yet we know God's a God of long-suffering. He could turn things around. This doesn't mean that he's going to come tomorrow, but he could come today. And we need to be ready. Amen. We used to say get ready, but we got to say be ready now. We need to be ready to hear that trumpet. Now look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. So now we see the scriptural base for salvation starting to take place. He preached Jesus to him. To preach Jesus. Philip preached not Judaism, not denominationalism, not even water baptism. He preached Jesus. And that's the message we have. Jesus crucified and resurrected. That's our message. Simon's so-called conversion was based on seeing wonders. We looked back earlier. Remember, he saw the amazing things that Philip was doing, and he wanted that. So he believed because of the signs and the wonders and the miracles that were taking place. But the eunuch's conversion was based upon seeing Jesus in the Word. That was his conversion. He didn't see any sign. He didn't see any wonder. He just saw Jesus in the Word. And so that's where his conversion came in. And that's where the message we have to preach. True conversion always comes not by seeing wonders, but by hearing the Word. Romans 10:17, I talk about it a lot. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. The more words you hear somebody speak, the more convinced you become of what they're talking about. So the more Word of God you read, the more of this you get in, the greater your faith becomes. The greater your faith becomes to be able to know that He will help you endure any problem. He will help you reconcile any situation in your life, any circumstance in your life. He is able to get you through that, but we have to get into the Word. The Word is where the answer is. The Word is where our direction is. It's our owner's manual. It tells us how to get through things. And so salvation comes by hearing the Word. Where do we get that faith from there? Now look at verse 36. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch says, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now, as a eunuch, he would have been not able, he wouldn't have been able to partake in some of the ordinances and of some of the Jewish traditions and legalism that they were dealt with. Because he was a eunuch, he wouldn't have been able to be a part of that. So he says, "What hinders me from being baptized now that I know Jesus?" Look at verse 37. Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." So we see in the eunuch here the sincere expression of a servant. So Simon says, if you believe in your heart, you may be baptized. There's nothing hindering you. There's nothing stopping you. And so, you know, that's there again. Water baptism is that outward sign of that inward feeling and that inward commitment you've made in your heart. It's that just showing the world, yeah, I'm dedicating my life to the Lord. And I always use a wedding ring as a comparison. A wedding ring doesn't make you married. It only shows others around you that you have a commitment to love that spouse that you're married to. It shows the commitment from your heart outwardly of what's taking place inside. And water baptism is that sincere expression. So Simon the magician asks for power to promote himself. He wanted to have more power, more fame. The Ethiopian eunuch asked for baptism to be able to die to self, to go under the water representing death and rising up again as that resurrected being. The Bible says we were all dead in our trespasses and sins, but we've been made alive together with him in Christ Jesus. So we have that resurrected life. The eunuch said, "Bury me in the waters of baptism. I want to serve God. I want to submit to his authority. I want to submerge myself in his will." In his will. You know, I say this often. A lot of times it's easy for us to say, "I've given my life to Jesus." But we need to be able to say, "I've given my life and my will to Jesus." See, Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done." We have our will. We have our desires. We have our thoughts and opinions. Oh, I need to do this because of this. But what's the Lord's will? What's his word say about the circumstance? What's his word say about the situation? What's he calling you to? And then be obedient to his will and not our will. We often want the easy way out. You want to be comfortable. Philip could have stayed in Samaria where it was comfortable. But he arose and he went to the desert. And then verse 37 goes on, and he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So the Ethiopian had at last found what he was looking for. Not a ritualistic religion, but a dynamic relationship with Jesus. That was what he was really hungering after. That's what everyone's really hungering after. They just have to be told. They have to be have a Philip come to them and help them understand what their true spiritual need really is. And verse 39 goes on. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. So we see they went into the water, and then we see Philip come up out of the water. So it wasn't a sprinkling. He was totally submerged. Baptismal means to be submerged. And so we see the water submerging of a water baptism taking place here. So we find this eunuch that came seeking to the holy city, but he left the holy city struggling with the scriptures. He was looking at them and he couldn't understand them. He couldn't get a grip on them. But now he returns rejoicing in his salvation because Philip was obedient to the calling that the Lord put on him. Now look at verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So as a deacon, Philip served tables. In Samaria, he became an evangelist. In Gaza, he was removed from the public arena to minister one-on-one to this Ethiopian eunuch. In Caesarea, he found himself raising a family of four daughters who would become prophetesses. We'll read about that in Acts 21 when we get there. But I see wherever Philip was, he flowed in ministry. Wherever he went, he was being used. He was being flowing in ministry. I'm sure he was thrilled at serving tables. I'm sure it was fulfilling to him to serve tables. He was just as much as he was preaching to the multitudes there in Samaria. One wasn't greater than the other to him. He was probably just as enthusiastic talking to the Ethiopian as he was raising his family. Wherever he was, whatever he was doing, he flowed in ministry. In your walk with the Lord, in your work for the Lord, like Philip, you will go through different seasons. God will use you in different ways at different times. He does all of us. There will be times when you'll wait on tables and minister practically. There'll be those times. There will be other times when the Lord might use you to speak to multitudes as you minister publicly. Other times you will work one-on-one and minister personally. There are these different seasons, these different ways that God uses us. Other times you will work whatever way the Lord calls you. You will invest in your kids. You will minister your family. To everyone, there is a time and there is a purpose. There's a time and a purpose. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord for whatever he calls you to do. Go with the flow. Go with the flow. Walk with him one step at a time. One step at a time, and he'll lead you in paths that you could never imagine. Just ask Philip, and you'll see how God can do that. It's amazing the different things that God does in your life. I've been in ministry a long time. I've had my ups and my downs. I've been in and out, and all kinds of things have happened. There was a time years ago that they took me out of ministry for a while. They took me off of staff for a while. And so I looked around to see what I could do. And at that time, we made cassette tapes. They used to have those, you know. We, after every service, we would sell cassette tapes in the bookstore. And so we would, after service, we'd sell between 80 and 100 tapes. So I looked around and I thought, well, I could be used in the tape room. So when I wasn't on staff, I just, every Sunday, I'd work in the tape room until God called me out of there back onto staff and to other things. And so you never know what God's going to do with you. He could call you to wash windows. He could call you to do anything. Just be open to his calling and be ready. And don't wait to say, well, why are you doing that, Lord? Why do I have to do this now? He's got a plan and a purpose above all that we can do. But today I believe he wants us to all be like a Philip. It could be you. It could be you that's a Philip today for someone in your life.